Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice Morning Show. Happy Friday. Make it a little bit happier. Get your tickets for Alice in Winterland immediately. Alice in Winterland 2019 is Thursday, December 5th at the Masonic in San Francisco. It stars Kesha and Avril Lavigne, who we just heard. Yep. Oh, my God. I'm super excited for this show. It's going to be great. Tickets are on sale now at LiveNation.com. Get them while they last. And make sure you're here all day because we'll have not only tickets for the show, but passes into our exclusive Sarah and Vinny Bud Light Platinum pre-party. Oh, my God. Nobody pre-parties like we do. We're amazing. Embrace it. It is actually a really fun party. We'll hang out for a little while, and some of us will drink Bud Light Platinums, and the rest of us will be looking over the balcony.
Love
at the
me
people
some Bud Light.
In. Yeah, me too.
I think I have a 12-pack in the fridge right now.
Listen, I'm all about it. Give me some beer. What is today, Friday?
Yes, okay. It is.
Sounds like a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up at 8:30, Jordan Klepper is going to be joining us. I am excited to meet the guy. I guess probably like 2014, he made his first appearances on The Daily Show. That's when I became aware of him and went on to have his own show. And I just think he's great. And he's playing at Cobb's this weekend. We'll find out what he's up to these days. Right now it's time for The Trash, brought to you by the chicken sandwich everyone is talking about. You know the one. It's only at The Organic Coup. Join the organic revolution at The Organic Coup today. Chicken sandwich. Never too early for a chicken sandwich. Okay.
Chicken and waffles. Is that what we were eating?
Yeah,
chicken
they gave us chicken and waffles.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, they were
I
good.
Love chicken
I liked
waffles.
It.
It's the first time I had that combination.
Oh.
I don't want syrup around people, though. That got everywhere.
It was a little sticky, yeah. I liked that they gave us real syrup, too, and not the extra, you know.
The fake one.
I don't like the fake one. I want the real stuff.
Like that meal at their location or maybe here, but at an event, I was like, oh,
it's hard to eat in front of people.
I
know.
Yeah. It's tough. Dang it. I was glad I got to the Psycho Donuts early, you know. Like, let me woof one of the. One of them had candy corn all over. I'm like, that one's mine. Get away from me while I freaking mob that thing in my mouth. Thank you. Okay, it's Friday, so that means the new music is out. There's a couple of interesting things on here. We're going to start with a six-song EP from R&B stud, Wiggle, Wiggle, Wiggle.
He is a stud.
Jason Derulo. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Like, what's not to like? You know, that's what you do with that big fat butt.
I don't know, that piccolo sound? No. Without that.
Well, it's like your snake charmer, you know? You're wiggle, wiggling, and you got the little piccolo going. And the...
Is that a piccolo?
I don't know.
What
it
is that?
Sound like it.
Oh, man. I have no idea.
Come on.
It's probably a synthesizer.
You're a music Vinny. Major.
Sounds
it
like
does
a,
sound like a wind sound.
It's like
some
a
sort.
Tin flute or something. Like is it it'll
biddle? A recorder
wiggle,
or something.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Patty cake. Oh, Jesus, Jason Derulo. Anyway, he's got a record out today called Two Sides, Side One. It's a six-song EP. Let's hear what this sounds like. This anything is, good? Anything as good as Wiggle, Wiggle, Wiggle on it?
Maybe. This song's called F It Up. But
oh.
Not necessarily in that word.
Okay. Is there a hook coming up with a wiggle, you know, wiggle, wiggle in it?
Yeah, there's a hook. Here's the bridge.
Okay.
Get into it. So the word work it up is not actually work it up, is all.
Oh, got it.
I see. I suppose people who are big fans of his, there's another thing to do with that big fat butt.
Yeah, that's fine. Hey, Vinny, it looks like they're toy flutes.
Oh, little toy flutes?
That's what they're using.
All right.
Oh, cute.
Adorable.
Is it?
All right, what else is on this six-song
This next
EP?
One's called Best Friend.
Okay. That's good.
Well, it sounds like you loved that one.
Well, it's no. I'm looking for another wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. You know. Snow Patrol, the Irish rock band. This is their eighth album, and this one's called Reworked.
Yes, and it's called Reworked because they just rework a lot of their songs.
Oh.
What?
So this is a best of album that has some like remixes or something?
Re-recorded, I guess. Here's Chasing Cars, but there are a few new ones, so I have those too.
Okay. Oh, boy. Yeah. Intense.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
That's so romantic.
In the famous
it?
Words of Al Peterson, who was a consultant at a radio station I worked at,
yeah.
Everybody loves vanilla.
Nothing offensive going on here, everybody.
Jeez.
All right, give me another one. Give me something that, did you say there were new songs on it too?
Yeah, here's a couple new
All
ones.
All right,
here's,
let's hear it.
Time Won't Go Slowly.
Goes down easy, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not choking on it. But it's also not satisfying me.
I'm choking on it.
Well, I'm trying to be nice. I mean, Jane might like this. Give me another one.
All right, here's the last one I have. I'm Made of Something Different Now.
Oh, okay. All right, I heard enough of that. Now let's go on to the script. Sure. We like the script. They actually
we do.
They did a secret show for us one time.
Oh, those are the guys?
The script, yeah.
Oh, all right.
They were, and it was great. We did it at the Hard Rock down the street, and they were sitting up like in the control booth, and so only we could see like the audience. The audience was between us and them, facing us, and we could see them cracking up. And I'm like, oh, I think they're gonna fit in. Well,
they were horrified by what we were saying.
Horrified,
could not
but,
believe
but also
what was happening.
Weirdly excited.
Those were the glory days of the secret show.
Yeah. That's when we were just filthy.
I don't know. Yesterday's was
pretty bad.
I had to get up and leave.
No. Stop it.
Listen, I think everybody got up and left.
There was a point where we're like, we're done.
This is over. I guess we're just turning into bad advice now.
No, the boys got dirty. The boys got dirty.
Yeah, but even then, it's like, yeah, we're just do bad advice. We got nothing else to say around here about this. No one wants to get it dirty anymore.
Well, it just comes back to bite you so often that you're just
why bother?
Why do I want to say anything about that?
I'm out here on a limb and everybody's like, look at you out there. That's too bad.
Oh, that looks precarious.
Good luck with that, man. Yeah.
Forget it.
Secret Show is a podcast we do that is not for kids. And it's not, if you're a prude, like, you know this about yourself. Don't listen to our Secret Show. You got to like dirty stuff. Mm. Okay, so Sunsets and Full Moons, that's the name of the new record by The Script, who were a great guest on one of our secret shows. This is their sixth album, and let's hear a little taste of this.
I'm feeling this album. I like it a lot.
Oh, really?
Here's The Last Time.
That's nice. I have no problem with that.
I mean, is this Snow Patrol?
It's slightly
interchangeable.
Slightly more exciting, I guess. I can picture this on Alice. All right, give me another one. That's nice. You want to go to the chorus?
It's going to kick a little bit. Well, you know.
It's going to kick in here.
All right, I can't. Is there going to be some drums in this
damn
thing?
Let's go crazy. Let's go crazy.
Boom, 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 boom. Oh, yeah, now we're talking.
All right, I'll jump to the next
one. Delicious. Vanilla is so good.
I like this one the most of the three that I pulled. Here's
just give me this.
The Underdog.
Underdog. Oh, intense. Building up. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That sound in the back, it just reminds me of every Chainsmoker song, you know?
You know what it reminds me of is Imagine Dragons.
Oh, I'll give you that, sure.
The beat.
That's a good, yeah. All right, so that's what the new script sounds like. I want to talk about this chick. She's a British singer named FKA Twigs. The first time I ever heard of her was when she hooked up with Robert Pattinson after he broke up with Kristen Stewart. She is in the Shia LaBeouf semi-autobiographical picture that's out today, which I said over here. I can't even remember what the name
Something
of it is.
Something Boy, Honey Boy.
Honey Boy, that's it. Yeah. So it sort of talks about his decline in his mental health and his childhood growing up. And she's a neighbor. She plays a neighbor. But she's a British singer, FKA Twigs. This is her second album. It's called Magdalene. And here is what it sounds like.
Here's Holy Terrain.
Holy Terrain?
Holy Terrain.
Okay.
Let me just jump ahead to her. She's very, like, soft sounding.
So is she a church lady?
I don't know, but
Magdalene is Mary. That's mother of Jesus, right?
I definitely have heard that name in conjunction with that and nothing else. And then Holy Land, Holy Terrain. There's a lot of this going on. This reminds me of Lana Del Rey. And
feel like I could get a facial.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Nice massage relaxed. To this.
Yeah, sure. It's very gentle. Okay, give me another one.
All right, I have one more. This is a trip. Here, it's called Cellophane.
Another cucumber water over here, please. Mm.
And a couple cute slices for my eyeballs.
Thank you.
Sure. Do you want to smell the lotions before I start rubbing them in?
Just go for it, man.
I have a nice cotton candy flavored lotion.
Do you have lavender?
I do have lavender. Yes, you would like lavender? Yeah. All right. All right, go behind the screen. Go ahead and take your clothes off. Here's a sheet. Okay, enough of this. I mean, we're not even listening.
She opens up, but it's still the same.
Oh, here we go. She's opening up.
I'll go. Let me jump ahead of him. But it's all the same feeling, same vibe.
It's pretty. I have no problem with it. So John Legend has a deluxe edition of his A Legendary Christmas. Oh boy, here she goes. Well, so now we're at the opera, I guess. Go, Bryn. Okay. All right, moving on.
All right.
John Legend, A Legendary Christmas. This is the deluxe edition. So if you have this already, you've got it, but there's four new tracks, including the new PC version of Baby, It's Cold Outside that he did with Kelly Clarkson.
You want to start with that?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
They changed the words up a little so that he doesn't put anything in her drink. It's a slightly less date rapey. You can't leave, honey. I'm blocking the door. That's cute.
You know, I wish I could name the place I saw it. It was probably me jumping channels, but the people who originally sang the song were quoted as saying, "It's just flirtation. Why does everything have to be so..." I just think all of us of a certain age are in need of some enlightenment, maybe. Because they were defending it. Like, you guys are just out of control. It's a holiday song. And I agreed with them.
True. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't offend me, but I get why people are like, you know, anybody who's had anything slipped in their drink is like, I don't like that song. Anyway, so there's a few new songs on this. Now we're going to move
on
to
stuff.
Can I
hear one of them?
All right, go ahead.
My favorite things.
I do love this song.
Oh.
Oh. Blues. Schnitzel with noodles.
All right, I'll...
With the moon on their wings. Oh, so good. I love his voice. I mean, you can't really argue with the guy's voice.
Yeah.
I follow Chrissy Teigen on Instagram, and so there's always pictures of their little boy.
Sure.
On there.
Looks just like him.
It's unbelievable. It's like
especially
little
when they
mini
dress the same way.
John Legend. Mm-hmm. So freaking cute. All right, Vinny, here's a couple things you might care about. We got a new single from Ozzy. It's called Under the Graveyard.
Oh, yeah.
Brand new Ozzy.
All right.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
It's Ozzy, man.
Yeah. I know. I'm already a fan, so.
I know.
And I just find him so interesting. Mm-hmm. It's just, you can hear. Now, Ozzy, I think that we need to go to a minor change there in the chorus. It's sounding a little too pretty.
I follow Black Sabbath on Instagram, and they just post pictures of them as young men
all the time.
And it's young Ozzy.
Who's doofy looking?
Yeah, but it's neat to see. I mean, they were famous for being extreme partiers.
Mm. All right, moving on to the Slayer live album, The Repentless Trilogy.
Okay.
We're going to just play one of these. This is recorded in Inglewood, California. Slayer live,
Inglewood.
Everybody. This is out today. Everybody brace yourself.
Cue the flames. Yeah!
I don't care what anybody says. This is the best thing I've heard so far today. So there you go. That's how they sound live.
Epic. So epic.
All right. Stop shooting me! Stop, you're so aggressive.
I love it.
Also out today, Taylor Hawkins. Taylor is the Foo Fighters drummer.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a side band called Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders, and they've got a record out today called Get the Money, which I love the title.
So here's Crossed the Line.
All right. This is so funny. It's like the Cars.
I thought it was a Cars
heads,
too. Yeah,
a little throwbacky. Uh-huh. Funky.
It makes me think of stoner rock.
Yeah,
like Caius.
This
yeah,
is great.
It's totally reminded me of Caius.
I like it. Do we have time? Do you want to squeeze one more in there? Because I have that one more thing I want to get to.
That one more thing.
I have one more thing.
Crap. What's that one more
just
thing?
Just one more.
It's the one last thing. I'm just going to go to the last thing. Here we go. Because Jordan Klepper's coming up. Quiet Riot has a new record out today.
Oh,
Quiet
dear.
Riot, of all people. Yes. Listen, by the way, it's nobody you know. All right. Founding member and drummer Frankie Manali.
Who's currently fighting cancer.
And bassist Chuck Wright. They're joined by someone named Alec Grassi on guitars and James Durbin on vocals.
Oh, good.
Durbin has left the band since recording this album.
What?
And been replaced by former vocalist, this is the guy's name, Jizzy Pearl. And so the changes keep on coming. And here is what it sounded like when...
That's his name?
That's his name. All right, that's what the new... Quiet
Why would
Riot
you go through all
like.
The work of making an album and not and then leaving the band?
I don't know. Maybe they just don't get along, Vinny.
All right.
Can't tell you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Jordan Klepper joins us.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny. On Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. It is my delight to welcome Jordan Klepper to the studio.
Sarah, thank you for having me.
Listen, Jordan, the beard. I like it.
What do you think?
You look very mature.
Yes.
Oh, this isn't something you'd seen.
I don't believe the last time I saw you had the beard. What's going on? You're just like hipster.
The beard is new. You know,
yeah, I like it.
I think when you host a television show, it's in your contract that you get to grow a beard after the television show.
Mm. But here's how you're going to look during the television show.
Exactly. And then when you go out, now you get to go grow a beard. My wife thinks I look like a divorced English teacher.
Oh. She's right.
She is.
Yeah.
She's not royal.
Yeah. No, she's right. That's
Has she stopped kissing you is the question.
No, I think
then you're good.
Yeah, I think she likes that. I think the divorce adds an element of melancholy, but the English teacher adds stability, which she finds attractive.
All right.
Mm. Well, Jordan, I guess I met you the first time on The Daily Show in 2014 or 2015.
Yep.
You were on there for a while, and then you went off. You did your own show, which The Opposition, which I was very disappointed when that went away, because I have to say I liked it and I sort of got what you were going for and I found some funny moments. You're a pretty politically savvy and active dude in that arena.
Yeah, I mean, The Daily Show, like, it was a dream to get to work at The Daily Show.
I'll
and
bet.
Still, you know, have so many fun friends who are over there, and once you get invited into that world and work with Jon Stewart, work with Trevor Noah, like, you not only up your game politically, but you're also engaged in meeting with people that you want to comment on and be a part of. And so, yeah, getting to The Opposition, getting to Klepper after that, like, all of those things were like, oh, if I'm going to get to do comedy, I want to do comedy in the sphere of something that is resonant or commenting on the things that are happening around us. Also, it's fun to just be in the mix.
Right. I mean, things seem like they're happening there.
My Lord.
It's so crunchy, though. There's sometimes, I thought so many times about correspondents over the years, like, that had to be, because they'll go out and they'll do a piece where you're in with the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And you are trying to catch them in things, or you're trying to sort of appeal to them to open them up, but at the same time you're making fun of them. Like, it has to get so crunchy.
It's very crunchy. I was on the road a lot during the last election, and as somebody, when you have a camera on your back or following you around, especially going to a Trump rally, that's a target, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so we would get followed around. We would get heckled consistently. I remember one of the final Trump rallies I went to, somebody was Googling and yelling at us, telling people not to talk to us because we were the FBI. And they were looking at the battery pack, and I had the rental company's name on it. And they were like, I think it was like PVR. They're like, oh, PVR, that's FBI. That's secret for FBI. These are FBI. They're getting all of your information. I'm like, we are fake news. We are the Comedy Central, but we are not the FBI.
If there's fake news, it's us.
Yeah, we've been creating the fake news, but we've been very honest about it for years. But it is a hairy spot, and it only got, to be honest, it only got worse as we got closer and closer to the election, and since then, because everybody, the hair's up on the back of their neck, and they see you coming with a camera, and they wanna engage, they wanna fight. Sometimes you get good conversations out of that, and sometimes you just get people who are angrily trying to make points.
Is it weird for you as an entertainer, which I imagine you would consider yourself first, but you find yourself into politics, and where it becomes hostile, as you're explaining it, don't you find yourself saying, I'm here to entertain people. I don't want to fight anybody.
Right. It's, I mean.
Or do you? Or you find yourself going, you know what? I don't care about entertainment more. I've been reading up and I'm armed.
I'm ready to fight.
I'd say it's a mix. It's honestly, it's been a weird journey. I will say I did a sit down interview with the Clintons a few months ago. And there was a point where I was like, I was an improv teacher 7 years ago. What am I doing here? But then when you start to create your own show, I'm also getting older. I just turned 40. And yet at some point, I know. Dear God, look at the beard.
You're established now.
It's the beard of sadness.
You don't look 40.
I appreciate that consolation.
A very young divorced English teacher.
Young. It looked like a man who brews his own white wine. Mm. That's what I think.
Oh.
But I
in
do
a
think.
Basement.
But
it's
once
nice.
You get into the basement, it's nice. It's hoppy. It's the hoppiest
in
white
the
wine
tub.
You're going to find.
Do you make that in the tub? I don't even know how you make that.
I don't know how you make wine, right? You just crush the grapes, stick them in the bathtub.
You crush
right?
the grapes, you stick them in the bathtub. Right. Your tears, they wash it out.
Oh, sure.
And you drink it alone. Mm. But I will say, once you age into that, I feel like you can't not be engaged.
Right.
You know, the years of me doing silly, ridiculous sketch comedy, which I still love and have an appreciation for, but it's like the world that I'm engaged with day in and day out is messy, and you want to comment on it, you want to add something to that. So even though it feels strange, it's like, I don't know what else there is to do. A comedian calls out the elephant in the room, and that elephant has been in the room for the last few years.
You gotta talk.
It's a huge, weird elephant.
God. Do you ever find yourself at a party, and even like people who are maybe politically aligned with you, where you're just like, okay, I'm exhausted. I don't want to talk about, can we talk about anything besides what's happening on the news today?
All the time. Now, I don't get invited to as many parties as I would like.
Oh,
again,
that's...
it's this beard. It does it. People are like, don't bring the sad guy with the bad wine. But but yes, I mean, I think it is exhausting, especially when you're on the road. You're consistently engaging in these ideas. And everybody wants to talk about it. And I'm often the guy who's on television talking about politics. So yeah, at parties, more often than not, I want to talk about what's in your Netflix queue. But even that finds its way to be talking about
right.
Mitch McConnell.
Let me ask you, do you feel like, let's say there's a major change in D.C. coming up next year, do you feel like you would change the way you do your job, or do you think you would still be poking holes as often and as ferociously as you do now?
I think you have to always... You have to always look for the BS, and that was Jon Stewart, what he was always so great about. He wasn't partisan. Now, the world became more partisan around him, but it was like, you call out the problem that you see. And
right.
I think what was happening before the world of Trump in The Daily Show with Jon Stewart was he was still very critical of the Obama administration, but what was unique was we got to choose the stories we wanted to cover. And oftentimes with The Daily Show, you were choosing a story that Barack Obama was talking about something one day, but nobody was engaged with. You wanted to talk about something that wasn't getting enough press. When Trump came in, he chose the story for you, and now everybody is dictated by that guy in the office. And so I think if things did shift, I think what would shift is you get to again choose the content with which you're engaging with, and I think that would be really exciting. And I think it would be on comedians and people who are doing work in this field to look critically at what, if it's the Democrats who come in, what they're bringing to it, and see what kind of backlash there is, because it ain't just going to flip like that next year, no matter what happens.
And I just think the burnout factor is so high. Like, it just, you know, even late night TV, which mm-hmm. I'll watch a lot of it the day after, and see, and you just get inundated with it. And I just wonder, you know, is he the best thing that ever happened to late night into comedy, or the absolute worst thing? And right, what will happen when the next change comes?
He's closer to the worst than the best, because I do think he is. He's choosing everything you want to cover.
Right.
And you almost
can't not talk about
it. He is the guy in the room. Call it out. But, and that's where the last show I got to work on, Klepper, we were just talking about activists and other issues that people weren't engaging with. And that was, as a comedian, entertainer, whatever you want to call
refreshing.
Me, it was really refreshing to be like, you care about something passionately that's complicated that we can talk about. There's new rooms for comedy. There's new rooms for emotional connections. Where when you talk about Trump, it just feels like you're punching a wall.
Right. Well, I feel like he's one
and
of those.
I mean, he's good at those walls.
Oh my God! Don't even. It just feels like sometimes there are certain topics that you're never going to change anybody's mind on, and so they become futile.
Yeah.
Like there's just no point in talking about it. Like, I find myself even among a group of friends that I know we're all pretty much politically, but everyone's like angst is up, and everyone's starting to yell, and I'm like, oh my God, I just really wanted to play a card game. More fun. please.
We're all. I feel like everybody's redlining on both sides. No matter how you feel, you feel like the world is unsteady, and you're in a battle against other people that you didn't know you were so diametrically opposed to. And so it is sad. Drinking rates are going through the roof. Get my white wine. I'm making it for you. That's
they've
the next
run out
phase.
Of the store. Oh, Yuzi has a question for you behind
it
you.
It seems like you're always on, and because of your job. But how do you turn it off? Or can you?
Booze? I mean, white wine is a great way.
The white wine thing, that is, it seems to
that's
be the
thing.
Running.
I will tell you, you know.
It's Jordan Klepper, by the way, and he's at Cobbs all weekend.
He's got a website, too. Officialjordanklepper.com.
It's official, yes. Yeah. Okay. Partially because I was too late to get jordanklepper.com.
All right, so let's hear how you take it down.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm an esoteric guy at heart, and so I like going to museums. And I turn off my phone. I walk to New York. It's a wonderful place with beautiful museums. I go to the Met and I just walk into a wing and get lost for a bit. I mean, you'll be amazed at how quickly you can see Donald Trump in a Jackson Pollock painting. But I feel like we're in a culture right now where everybody's telling you how to feel. Right. I wake up, I'm addicted to the news, and I'm reading what Maggie Haberman thinks. I'm reading think pieces before I get breakfast. And so anything I can look at that isn't telling me this is how you should feel, get angry, is a brief respite. And so it's walks, it's art, it's closing your eyes and going back to sleep for a little while.
At various cities that you go to, do you seek that out? Like, what are you going to do? You're a comedian. You're going to work tonight and tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday night, too?
I believe so, yeah.
Right. Yep, three nights.
So three nights in a row. So are you going to go and explore the city? I mean, what do you do during the day?
I'm a walker. I'm a vinyl fan. I'm an avid reader. I love to find me some old bookstores, sit down and just... I mean, I love the classics.
Again,
I'm going to show my age. This is really going to get people to come on out. I turned 40 and a buddy gave me Moby Dick for the first time. It was like, it's about a man and a whale and you'll understand. And I was like, all right. And then I loved it. I was like, this is about me. It's about all of us. It's about the quest. I was like, I gave it to my wife. You need to read this. She read two pages. She was like, you need to watch Black Mirror. Watch something on television.
That'll make you think. Oh my God. So today, I was excited to see how alive and awake you were. A lot of times we'll have a comedian in here and they're just like,
we're the worst. Our diction is terrible.
You are the worst. Oh my God. But you are the best of the worst. This is fantastic, Jordan Klepper.
It's on my business card.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't strike me as a guy who's going to go take a nap today.
I don't think I will. I think, honestly, what is really fun about performing live again is that you get immediate response from an audience and you get to do it again. And so today, I'm lucky enough. I get to travel to cool towns. I love San Francisco. I'm going to walk around for San Francisco for a few hours. I'm going to work on some new material for tonight because the news is changing all the time. The audience is going to tell me if I'm onto something or if I'm not.
Right.
And tomorrow I'm going to have to take that account and do it all over again. So it's a nice mix of getting to be creative again, which is something when I'm not doing like The Daily Show or The Opposition. The best part about those shows is you are constantly producing. And so wherever I can kind of be in conversation with your audience, I feel my most alive.
So you're saying that every day is a little bit of a different show, because I think that that's a challenge that a lot of comedians face now is they've got their act and then there's people with cameras who are taping their act and putting it on YouTube. And
for sure.
That's got to be tough.
It is tough. I mean, I think, you know, you have to believe in the things that you say on stage, but also stand-up comedians are always consistently trying new things. Again, I think it's a conversation with an audience. So I think you own that. It's not always going to feel completely polished because you might be creating that morning and you might be wanting to see what can I find in this room. And then you take it and tomorrow you hone some of those bits that worked well the night before. You throw out some that didn't and you add something new that hopefully you stumbled on.
You know, do you believe in take backs? If you're doing live material and you've got video rolling, unauthorized video rolling, and you find yourself going for a joke, do you ever find yourself saying, I didn't want to say that? That's
sure.
Not what I meant to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I come from improv, and improv is a place where you're making it all up. And
right.
You are pushing those edges, those boundaries, you're throwing things out there. I think, yes, you will step over the line sometime because you need that reaction. Comedians are needy. We want people to love us. It's scary when you're not laughing. And you know those things in your back pocket that can at least get people to be surprised. And so you say those things. I think comedians need to own it. I don't believe comedians were like, why are you getting so mad that I said that thing? It's like, because you said that thing in front of a microphone. Like, yeah. It's meant to amplify your voice. You ask people to pay to hear it.
In a corner saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's your job. You want it to be heard. So deal with that.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, also own that. You might have been, I overstepped my bounds. I need to clarify that image. I think humans are complicated in that sense. Own what you say, but maybe say it better next time.
Well, especially in a live setting where you're working, where you're riffing.
Yeah, you're riffing. And again, context is a big thing with a lot of that, because sometimes you are riffing with an audience. And again, own what you say, but you might be pushing. You might be playing in a satirical world that you're trying to get that reaction to make a larger point. I hope people understand it in that way. I think when you put it online, sometimes you strip away context and people get in trouble because of that.
Sure. You haven't just paid to be at a comedy show, and it's a whole different thing.
And there might be a larger set that's speaking to something else as well.
Right.
So, there's danger there. I think there always has been.
Well, those English teachers, they love their danger.
They love them, let me tell you.
Right. Oh, my God. It has been absolutely great meeting you. You're even more delightful than I hoped you'd be.
I've been a big
fan for a long time. Jordan Klepper is at Cobb's all weekend long. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah,
Jordan
thanks for having me.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Sarah and Vinny.